Welcome to The Perfect Storm, a podcast for business executives and cybersecurity professionals. Industry veterans Michael Markulek and Matthew Webster chat with guests about the latest cyber news, threats, and trends, and how all of it impacts their businesses. Harbor Technology Group is a cybersecurity consulting firm that offers advisory services to the SMB. Harbor believes by taking a proactive rather than reactive approach to cybersecurity, business leaders can develop a cybersecurity program that will address external requirements, exceed client expectations, and ultimately take their organization to the next level. Harbor's innovative processes are based on industry standard frameworks that are tailored to meet the needs of small and medium-sized businesses.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Harbor Technology Group's The Perfect Storm podcast. Really excited to kick off our February podcast, although it's a little bit late in the month, with Sarah Mirsky-Terranova. Sarah and I have known each other for a few years. She is principal at AE Consulting, and we are going to talk about the world of fractional chief compliance officers and generally talk about fractional work for small and mid-sized businesses in general. Hey, Sarah, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Super excited. We've been going back and forth about getting this scheduled. One of us is sick. One of us is vacationing. The other gets sick. Then we have a snowstorm. But we finally are able to get together. So that's cool. So Sarah, tell me a little bit about A&E Consulting and kind of what your background is.
Yeah, happy to. So I started AE Consulting about, I'd say, 2 years ago. Prior to that, I was a former full-time chief compliance officer at a few different companies, tech companies, fintechs, came from big banking as well. And I'm also a licensed attorney. So, you know, after working in the industry for so long, I decided, you know what, let me start my own consulting firm. And funny enough, I just want to tell a quick funny story here. The way I came up with AE Consulting, because I get asked that question multiple times.
Sure. It doesn't match any of your initials.
Exactly. That's the question I get. A is for Adeline. E is for Eloise, my two daughters.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, I went with something, I guess to some folks, it might be a little boring. It's nothing, you know, really cool that accentuates what I do for folks, but it's still a good conversation topic.
That's great. Tell me a little bit more about in the 2 years, or even going back, what are the compliance challenges that organizations are seeing these days? Like, what's happening out there that is drawing companies to you guys?
Yeah, so I must say a majority of my clients are small fintechs or small to medium-sized tech companies. And essentially, they all have one thing in common, right? They are moving fast. They're building a product or multiple products at the same time. They're onboarding partners while trying to raise capital. And a lot of folks in the SMB industry don't have the capital to hire perhaps a full-time chief compliance officer.
Or even the need for a full-time person, right?
Exactly. And that's exactly what it is too, Matt, is a lot of them don't need someone full-time at the moment. Even when I have a fintech come to me who has a bank sponsor and they're looking for something like a deposit account or a debit card, the bank will say, listen, you're not at a point yet where you need someone full time, but you still need someone on a part time basis to help you and someone who is at that executive level rather than someone who's, you know, at a more junior level who can operate. They're really looking for someone who's at an executive level who can give them not just the advice and guidance, but someone who can also build out a compliance framework and program and create something from scratch and actually operationalize the entire program.
That's right. And just to be clear, when you say they're looking for some type of account system within the banking world, you mentioned debit card, et cetera. That's not just for, it's not like for them, it's to use in their platform to like issue a virtual debit card or something like that, right?
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's all areas, right? It's software companies. It's, them just having a software platform, even if it's not an actual bank product. It's registered investment advisors. I, work with healthcare technology companies, crypto companies, which is absolutely huge nowadays. And again, they all, even though it's across all different types of use cases and different types of products and different regulations,
Sure.
they still all have some type of compliance requirement and multiple requirements that they must abide by. And they need someone at that higher level to come in and really come in and tell them, this is what we need to do. And hey, I'm going to go ahead and help you build it out and help you do it.
Yeah, that's right. Along those lines, these maybe they're established fintechs or health techs or ed techs or technology company X or company Y in general, they're dealing with banks that are much larger, much more established processes, have a way of going about things, are hesitant to do business with smaller companies. So it's super important to have what you mentioned, which is that executive oversight or governance to the pro to a compliance program and building those relationships, but also the experience to know, hey, I know how to navigate bank X or bank Y or bank Z because I've done this in the past. So there's like twofold to this, right? Like it's not just, hey, we need to be compliant, but you need that expertise, that experience that knows how to navigate the waters.
Exactly. And someone who can come in and be there and be the face of the compliance team. And a lot of companies, sometimes they have this misconception that fractional hire, so to speak, is someone who's not going to be participating in regulatory meetings and someone who won't participate in investor meetings. And to be honest, I tell all potential clients and all current clients and previous clients who I've worked with, I let them know, hey, listen, have me on those phone calls, add me to the pitch deck meetings, put me on the regulator meetings, because even though I'm fractional, these folks who you're meeting with, they don't care about that, right? They don't care what
Yeah,
is it,
that's
what does the
right.
paperwork look like? Is she a full-time employee? Does she get benefits? Does she get health insurance? They don't care about that. They care about the fact that they have someone there to be able to, one, protect them, two, tell them if something can work, can we find the loophole to make it work from a compliance and legal perspective? And three, someone to really help foster the relationship with banks, with investors, with regulators. And that's what I do for all of my clients.
Yep, we're going to talk about why fractional here in a second, but I completely agree with you. We see it in our world with the fractional CISO. Same thing. It's, when you're talking to a potentially a big pharma company or a big bank or a big manufacturer, whatever it might be, having somebody that's at the table, whether it be a fractional CCO, fractional CISO, or a fractional CIO or whatever it might be, just having that expertise at the table brings a level of comfort to those partners or those clients that you're trying to engage with because they know they have somebody that has the experience and that kind of has been down this road before and not somebody flying by the seat of their pants trying to put things in place so that they can win some business or establish the banking relationship, whatever it might be. I think that really speaks volumes to why the fractional world is so important, especially for startup companies, but even companies that have been around for a while that are looking to elevate their game, going the route of fractional or virtual really allows them to do so with the barrier of entry for that expertise is much, much less. Is that what you see as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got 100% right, to be honest. And that's what I love about it, right? That's what I love when I made that shift from full time to fractional, is being able to help a wide variety of clients. And these are folks who understand the value of hiring fractional. And rather than, I guess you could say, in a sense, opening up the wallet and paying for five different people for our compliance team, they go with the fractional route. And it really makes a world of difference for them.
So you've touched on it a little bit, but what does a fractional CCO really look like? Anybody listening to this podcast, if they were to be like, you know what? I need to call Sarah. What's it look like for them?
Yeah, so it's funny because all of my potential client meetings, we talk about what you and I just talked about, and then they go, okay, what does this look like, Sarah? What do we do next? And so, what I tell each of my clients is what it looks like is going to be very similar for anyone, right? So, anyone listening to this can understand, okay, it's a fractional CCO. Yeah. So maybe she works 10 hours a week or 30 hours a month. And what I say to clients wanting to bring me on or bring someone like me on is it looks like what you want it to look like. What does the client want it to look like, right? So, do they want someone who is deeply ingrained and involved as much as perhaps a full-time employee, but not have the number of hours? And when I say deeply ingrained, what I really mean is, do you want me to have access to Slack? Do you want me to have access to all of the daily stand-ups if you have it? Generally speaking, what clients always do is they do create a company email, of course, that I would use. And sharing, folders with any documents they already have in order for me to kind of use their systems to build out a number of documents, policies, procedures, getting compliance training set up, whatever they would want me to do. But usually, and I can say a majority of my clients, they want me to be more deeply ingrained, meaning they have access to me in Slack or Teams or Discord. They have access to me via email, via the company email, as well as my AE consulting email. I'm on a lot of different types of meetings, and really, I'm kind of, in a way, treated as though I'm full time without being full time. And then I do have a few clients that are a little bit more hands off with me. And, they'll say, listen, maybe we need you to do 10 to 20 hours a month. We'd love to see kind of the output of what you have in mind. And I kind of go in the corner, so to speak, and I do the work. And then I come out with an output of different work that I've created for them. And then we go over what I've done. But I can say, probably for at least 85% of my clients, what the engagement looks like is more deeply involved in the day-to-day, being involved in bank meetings. And a lot of it is also me utilizing my network to make multiple introductions for my clients. And when I say introductions, I mean, introductions to payment processors, to different bank sponsors. I've even made intros to different investors and VC firms. And they utilize me in that way as well, which I'm more than happy to do. And so, yeah, so that's kind of what it looks like. But again, what I would say is that it's going to look like what the client wants it to be. And I'm very much flexible in terms of how the setup is handled.
Sure. Now, again, speaking from my experience as well, we kind of live in the same world. Sometimes we're very ingrained in the organization, even going to company retreats and management offsites, et cetera. And similarly to you, like 85% of our clients are probably playing in that world of you're a part of the team, not the consultant that just you're a wind-up toy that you do what we ask, which is fine. I will say, and I'm saying it because I'm a straight shooting guy. We're more successful. We are. And I think, Sarah, in conversations I've had with you over the years, you're more successful when there is that more of, I may not be working 40 hours a week or 80 hours a week, whatever it might be, but I'm still part of the team and use me like you would anybody that's on the team to bring value to the organization. So the closer we're tied in the fractional role to the direction of the business, we can provide, insights that might be outside of our regular talk track, so to speak, that we can provide those, the introductions that you mentioned to private equity or maybe suggest a different banking partner in your world that might be more appropriate for a client you're working with. But if you have an understanding of the direction of the company, what the management team or the board is looking to accomplish, those things make the role of a fractional anything much more successful. I don't know. Do you think there's a fundamental difference between the idea of a fractional CX or CXO and just a regular consultant? Do you see a fundamental difference between that? I mean, a regular consultant at the executive level, does that make sense?
That does. I do see a difference. And the reason I say that is because I've had a few clients who have said, well, we just want you to be a fractional compliance officer for us. We already have a chief compliance officer. We already have a full dedicated team. We want you to just come in and tell us kind of how the team is operating. What do we look like? What documents do we not have in play right now that we might need? And I do have engagements that are like that.
Which are
Not
very consulting like, right?
Yes, exactly. It's a very consulting-like atmosphere. And it is great to do those as well because I can come in and I get to talk to a team of compliance folks who are already in it, right? They're already in it. They're already doing the day-to-day work. And now they're saying to me, hey, Sarah, as an outsider, as someone who's not biased and not in the internal politics, perhaps, we want you to come in and take a look at X, Y, and Z. And again, this is where this comes back to the prior question of how do clients want the engagement to look,
Sure,
you
sure.
know? And again, a majority of the time I do get a, hey, can you be a fractional CCO? Or hey, can you be a fractional payments attorney for us? Or something similar to that versus a, hey, we want you to come in and just be kind of a fractional consultant and tell us how we are doing. But either way, something that it excites me, whether it's
Sure,
the
sure.
former or the latter. It's something that to me is exciting regardless because I now get another client. I get to see how they operate and I get to have the same goal in mind that they all have, which is to further the company, to get that needle moving up and to the right and increase revenue. And a lot of folks think, oh, if you're compliance, well, you know, that's not what you do. And that is, you know, I'm very strategic in my engagements and I make sure that I give the best advice I can give and operationalize things the best I can in a compliant and legal way so that the company can move that needle up and to the right and they can generate more and more revenue in a legal way.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's funny. We kind of play in the same world a little bit. The clients that we have in common, we're talking quite often about compliance concerns as they apply to the cybersecurity world, et cetera. And those clients that we have in common, they're different. Some were very ingrained and really part of the team. Others, it's more consultative, which, as you've correctly pointed out, both are perfectly fine and both can lead to success. There's just very different ways of engaging a fractional CXO, right? So that's super insightful. So when you're kicking off or when you're considering bringing on a fractional CCO, what are the things you should look for in that type of role?
So, and quick question for you, Matt. Do you mean in terms of experience or in terms of?
Like how do you get from we need to be compliant or we need to do some work in the compliance realm to now I need to hire this fractional CCO? What should organizations consider when they're really looking at a fractional CCO?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things. And first, what I tell folks is it depends on number one, most importantly, is the use case. So if you're looking, if you're a fintech that operates in financial services and you're looking for a bank sponsor and you want to offer some sort of financial service, again, I mentioned in the beginning a deposit account or a savings account or a credit card or a debit card, you're really going to look at what regulations are required under the use case that you have. And I've seen it before, and I've seen folks where, you know, you might have another executive on the team who could be a co-founder, and they can talk about a compliance enough to be dangerous, but not to the point that they can sit down with a bank or
And execute on.
yeah, exactly,
Right.
and execute an actual compliance program. So what I generally will say is look at not just policies and procedures, right? Because a policy is just a written document. A procedure is just a written document. It's about actually executing and operationalizing the processes and the procedures that you do need to have. It's setting yourself up so that you understand the payment flows. You want to make sure that, again, as the example I just gave in financial services, are you transmitting money on behalf of the customers? Whether you're operating just in general fiat or are you operating in cryptocurrency, right? Are you working with stable coins? Are you offering, like you said, a virtual debit card? Regardless of the product, you want to look at what regulatory expectations need to be met. Then you need to think about what documents you need to have written down. Then you need to really think about your funds flow and think about certain things that most folks wouldn't necessarily think that compliance is involved in, which is really projections. And the reason I say projections can be involved on a compliance side is because a fractional CCO can come in and say, okay, what are the projections on ACH payments? Because
Right.
a bank sponsor will look at that and say, well, geez, the higher the projection, the more of a risk for ACH returns if we have a consumer use case. And that's again where compliance gets involved in certain conversations that someone who doesn't know compliance or can only speak enough to be dangerous, doesn't understand rules and regulations around ACH returns and NACHA rules. And all of the alphabet soup regulations when it comes to financial services, or talking about things like becoming a money services business or having your money transmitter licensing. And now you're talking about state regulators and a lot of paperwork that goes along with it.
100%, 100%. So turning it on its head just a bit, when these questions come up, knowing how to answer the question, like not just the technical bits and bytes, but knowing how to nuance the answers, not saying anything that isn't true, of course, but nuance it in a way that you can build a comfort level with the sponsor bank or whatever it might be, that's super important as well. Navigating the conversational waters to help develop that level of comfort with the other side of the table so that they feel like they can do business with this fintech or this ed tech or this health tech company.
Oh, 100%. I've seen early stage fintechs come to me, early stage techs, early stage startups. And they've come to me and they said, hey, we're looking for a new bank sponsor. And in my mind, the way they're telling me is that they think, okay, we're going to get this bank no matter what. We have really good projections. We have money. We've done, whether it be a pre-seed or seed funding, and we're good to go. They'll accept us from a business standpoint. But what sometimes they don't understand is that the compliance team at the bank is going to go through an extensive due diligence process with the startup. And
Right.
if they literally answer NA, NA, NA to all of the due diligence questions, the bank is immediately going to say, hey, you're not mature enough. Not meaning you need maturity as in raising capital necessarily, but maturity in that you don't have someone to complete the compliance tasks that you need to complete. Till then, talk to you later. Come back to us when you have this all in place, and then we can start the diligence and the implementation process.
Right on. So you've talked a little bit. I might put you on the spot here a bit. You've talked a little bit about, or a significant amount about fintech and financial services compliance and the alphabet soup related there. But that's not your only area that you can help organizations with, right? Because I know that we're working on with a client in the HIPAA space. May not be completely your 100% lane, but have a knowledge around HIPAA that you can help compliance there. Are there other places that you would say are good for you, or maybe you're not the right person and you can make an introduction to somebody else? I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, so
Yeah, no,
apologize.
this is a great question. So one of my clients is a registered investment advisor, RIA. So I am keenly familiar with all of the SEC rules that come into play. So I'm very well versed in the RIA space. And also I do have to point out for anyone listening to this, you may or may not search me on LinkedIn and you'll see. I previously was the chief compliance officer at Possibit, which is a publicly traded POS and payments company in the cannabis space.
So you know weed.
I know weed. I know all about weed. And we had our money transmitter license as well, and a lot of nuances there, and a lot of nuances, not just with state regulation. We're talking packaging for cannabis products. And then you're also talking about, HIPAA reliance and HIPAA business associate agreements for our the medical marijuana dispensaries that
Sure,
we.
sure. Well, that's all really great stuff. So I think we touched on a lot of the things around what makes fractional work successful, specifically around CCOs. Anything else you'd like to add about what a fractional CCO looks like? Anything that you feel like, oh, shoot, I should have said that or mentioned that?
Good question. I would just say to folks who might be looking immediately for a full-time employee and they just don't feel comfortable with a fractional setup, at least have a conversation, right? I mean, obviously, it doesn't have to be with me. It can be with the many other professionals out there who provide similar services. Have the conversation first. I have had clients who I've met, and they would say to me, Sarah, we've never done this before. And I said, well, there's nothing scary about having a fractional CCO. I said, if anything, it's easier for onboarding. You don't have to think about recruiting delays. You don't have to think about hiring someone full time and what happens if 6 months down the line you don't like them and now you have to find someone else new, or what happens if they quit a few months into it. Getting them trained up and having someone come in from the outside and operate as your fractional CCO, essentially, you are having someone come in with an unbiased opinion. Generally, folks like me, we do not play internal politics, so you do not have to worry about that. We come in with the objective in mind of protecting you as a company, protecting your reputation, helping you build, helping you scale, helping you mature. And I think most importantly to business owners, helping you make money and doing it in the safest way possible. And to that, I simply say, think twice. Have the
Okay.
conversation with a fractional. Have a conversation with us. If no means no, then that's okay.
That's okay. Absolutely. Again, like we were talking about with the comparison between fractional and consultants, with a fractional, you also get that added benefit of having the consultative expertise that should be coming through this conversation. That expertise is invaluable. That's why companies bring in the McKinseys of the world to provide that expertise and that guidance and that unbiased opinion. As a fractional CXO, we've seen a lot of organizations. We have a lot of experience on the dark corners that could catch somebody and prevent them from being successful. So I think those all of those things make a lot of sense when organizations are considering bringing on a fractional person to do X or Y or Z. Well, Sarah, thanks for that. That was really insightful. I actually learned a little bit, so that's good.
Oh, that
And
makes me
I will
happy.
never be able to keep up with the alphabet soup there in the fintech world. It's really tough to chase. So as we finish every one of our podcasts, we'd like to ask you for a place that you enjoy with your two kids and your husband to go to the beach. Do you have something in mind?
Oh, I'd have to say Waikiki.
Okay, I'm in.
Yep. I know folks might listen to this and go, oh, come on, Sarah, choose Maui. Well, guess what, guys? I've never been to Maui, not yet. Okay. I've been to Waikiki and I love it.
Well, that's great. And considering you're in New Jersey with me, we've had a proper winter this year. The idea of going to anywhere in the Hawaiian Islands sounds
Anyway,
amazing,
yes.
right? Do you have someplace more specific in Waikiki that you'd like to go to?
You know what? I'll go with, and I probably wouldn't bring the kids there, although I nowadays breweries, they bring kids all the time to
Sure,
brewery. So
sure.
Waikiki Brewing Company.
That sounds great to me. Cold beer and probably a burger.
Exactly.
Sounds about perfect. That sounds about perfect. All right, awesome. Well, Sarah, thanks for spending a little bit of time with us. I really appreciate it. And you and I will be chatting again soon, likely tomorrow.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks.
Harbor's innovative processes are based on industry standard frameworks that are tailored to meet the needs of small and medium-sized businesses. We would also like to thank Tom Marshall for the original music. Yes, that Tom Marshall from Phish fame. Harbor's portfolio of services is designed to meet the cybersecurity needs of small and medium enterprises. We offer a range of services from cyber risk advisory to VCSO consulting to meet specific security requirements without putting a strain on your technology budget. If you like what you heard here, be sure to subscribe and share with your friends and colleagues, and are available on Spotify and Apple. You can reach us through our website if you have additional questions or suggest a great harbor we should mention on our next show.